step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
At the tone, the time will be exactly...
Time for the Mo Kelly Show.
Set it off, Mr. Mo Kelly.
Mo Kelly.
Show.
Turn it up, baby.
Mo Kelly.
Here we go again.
Mo Kelly.
Show.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Mo Kelly.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Mo Kelly Show. Today, Kobe Bryant was enshrined in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame as a member of the 2020 class. Yes, 2020. They announced the class a year prior to their actual enshrinement. As you all know, Kobe will forever be woven into the fabric of L.A. His wife, Vanessa, gave today's induction speech, which was barely an hour ago. Here is a good portion of it.
I don't have a speech prepared by my husband because he winged every single speech. He was intelligent, eloquent, and gifted at many things, including public speaking. However, I do know that he would thank everyone that helped him get here, including the people that doubted him and the people that worked against him and told him he couldn't attain his goals. He would thank all of them for motivating him to be here. After all, he proved you wrong. All of the athletes that accept a Hall of Fame award share the fact that they have to sacrifice a part of their lives to dedicate more time to their craft. It takes a lot of self-drive, dedication, and discipline. No one can take away from their own success. Kobe's personal stats speak for themselves. Kobe was on a different level. He never took shortcuts when it came to basketball. He gave this game his all. Kobe played through injury after injury. To name a few, he had IVs administered during halftimes to play through food poisoning and the flu. He played with a broken nose. He had a broken finger and had it snapped back in place just enough to finish the game. He also taught himself how to use his left hand to play the rest of the season while his finger healed. He even swished two free throws with a torn Achilles and walked off the court on his own. I'll never forget the look he gave me as he walked off the court that game. I knew it was bad. The crowd was cheering, and I was reassuring Natalia and Gianna that Daddy would be okay, just like any other injury. But as he walked into the tunnel, there was no wink, and there was no kiss blown my way. I could see the concerned look on his face. That injury was big, but his comeback from that injury was bigger. People don't know this, but one of the reasons my husband played through injuries and pain was because he said he remembered being a little kid sitting in the nosebleeds with his dad to watch his favorite player play. He could recall the car ride, the combos, and the excitement of being lucky enough to have a seat in the arena. Kobe didn't want to disappoint his fans, especially the ones in the 300 sections that saved up to watch him play, the kids with the same excitement he once had. I remember asking him why he couldn't just sit a game out because he was hurting. He said, "What about the fans that saved up to watch me play just once?" He never forgot about his fans. If he could help it, he would play every minute of every game. He loved you all so much. Kobe had many accomplishments. 5-time NBA champion, 5-time New York Times best-selling author, 18-time All-Star, a league MVP, and 2-time finals MVP. 2-time Olympic gold medal winner, he is also the first professional athlete to win an Oscar. The list goes on, but his most cherished accomplishment was being the very best girl dad. Usually people thank everyone that has helped them get here, but since I don't have Kobe's specific list, I want to thank my husband. He did the work. He broke those records, and he inspired people to be great. I want to thank him for somehow finding ways to dedicate time to not only being an incredible athlete, a visionary entrepreneur, and storyteller, but for also being an amazing family man. Dear Kobe, thank you for being the best husband and father you could possibly be. Thank you for growing and learning from your own mistakes. Thank you for always trying to be better. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for all of your hard work. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our daughters, Natalia, Gianna, Bianca, and Capri. Thank you for working so tirelessly to provide for us and for giving us the most amazing life together. Thank you for waking up at 4 a.m. to train, for making it home to kiss me good morning, and for dropping our girls off at school, only to go to practice, come home, and pick up our girls from school whenever you could. Thank you for never missing a birthday, a dance recital, a school award show, show and tell, or any games our daughters played in if your schedule permitted. Thank you for putting your love for our family first. Thank you for bringing so much joy to our lives and joy to the people around the world. Thank you for inspiring us to be better than we were the day before. Thank you for teaching me and all of us to put someone else's joy before our own. Thank you for being so selfless and loving with a heart of gold. Thank you for never taking yourself too seriously. Thank you for your sense of humor. Thank you for your wit. Thank you for never telling me no and always letting me have my way most of the time. Thank you for being patient and easygoing. Thank you for letting me burst your bubble every chance I got. Thank you for graciously taking all my harsh comebacks. Thank you for dishing them back. Thank you for being the Mickey to my Minnie and the Noah to my Allie. Thank you for loving me enough to last lifetimes. In every lifetime, I choose you. To our girls, Natalia and Gianna, thank you for sacrificing so much time away from Daddy so that he could focus on being the best at everything he set his mind to do. Bianca and Capri, I'm so happy you're here to see this tonight. Daddy was incredible. He loves you girls so very much. Congratulations, baby. All of your hard work and sacrifices paid off. You once told me, if you're going to bet on someone, bet on yourself. I'm glad you bet on yourself, you overachiever. You did it. You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe Bean Bryant.
KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Mo Kelly Show.
Urban One Honors, the theme for this year's Salute to Excellence is Women Leading the Charge, a special night of TV commemorating excellence by African-American women, from voting rights and investigative journalism to health equality and business women breaking the glass ceiling, on Sunday, May 16th at 9 p.m. Grammy Award-winning gospel artist, author, and syndicated radio personality Erica Campbell will co-host with journalist and television host Roland Martin. But right now, Erica Campbell joins me on the show. Erica, good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mo?
I'm absolutely wonderful, and my day has already been brightened being able to talk to you again. Let me jump right in. There are six women who will be honored, and I suspect most people are familiar with Stacey Abrams, who is one of the honorees for her work in voting rights. But what are some of the other contributions of the honorees we'll learn about?
Dr. Alla Stanford, health equality advocate, Roz Brewer, business alchemist, Kim Ford, family needs ambassador, reparations ambassador, Robin Sue Simmons. So some really amazing women. And then there's a special hometown hero that will be highlighted that you will meet and celebrate her for the change that she's making in her city.
If COVID-19 has taught you anything, taught me anything, it's that disparate health care ensures disparate health outcomes. And most times, health care disparities run parallel to economic disparities. I'm sure health care will be taking a prominent role in this year's honors as well. How might that happen?
Dr. Alla Stanford, you'll learn all about her and the work that she does. And I think it's necessary to celebrate our women that are making the change. And then there's women in everyday life that don't get celebrated like this. That's why this show is so special. And I think if you do this work, even if you're not on the show, if someone's doing something that you do, you know, gosh, at least someone's paying attention. They're seeing us. I think that's the tragedy that happens a lot of times in our world. We feel so invisible. And so shows like this highlight and illuminate the greatness that is African-American women, you know?
I want to go one step further with that, because me as a man, I'm on the outside looking in, but I'm always encouraged when I see women breaking the glass ceiling in various industries, be it business, be it education, politics, wherever. But historically, women have progressed at different rates in history, and African-American women have been on a different track than other women for various reasons. How have African-American women been doing as of late from your perspective inside?
I think that we're growing. I think things are changing. I mean, when you look at Kamala Harris being in the White House, it's a sign that things are shifting, but the change starts with how we look at each other. You know, it's like the question that I always get. People always ask with such amazement and wonder, like, how do you balance? How do you do it? It's a question that men never get, as if they don't have children too. It's a question that men never get, as if they don't have a mama too. When you change that mindset and you expect greatness, then you're not so surprised when you see a woman managing a family well and children well and business well and her money and her self-care, and she happens to do it well. So I think as we change the way we see each other, the way we see ourselves, the way women are seen in this country, our opportunities grow. Because if they don't think you can do it from the start, they never even give you a yes. So before you even apply, they're assuming, oh no, black women don't do dot, 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 whatever it is. And so you don't even get the yes. We know what happens to our men. Oh no, black men aren't good fathers. Black men are, you know, all these narratives that are not true. Are there some bad fathers? Absolutely. But are there some great ones? Absolutely. And so when we get a chance to celebrate us, we chip away at systemic racism. We chip away at the lies that say we aren't capable to run Fortune 500 companies, that we aren't, capable of doing great things in the world. We are so much more than what we've been. And so shows like this will not only speak to the powers that be, but they will also encourage younger men and women to let them know what they can do when they say yes to themselves. Because before you get a yes from anyone else, you've got to give yourself a yes. You got to tell yourself that you can do it. And so that's what these women have done. And I'm honored to be a part of this show that's going to celebrate them.
You bring out a very important point, and I know you didn't come on to talk about this, but I'm going to make mention of it. Given the ongoing and emerging controversy surrounding the Golden Globes, I think it highlights the importance and necessity of award shows and honoring folks like the Urban One Honors to make sure specifically African-American contributions are not overlooked, but also within the African-American community that we recognize recognize one another when other, I'll say, award shows, for lack of a better phrase, are not necessarily acknowledging us or taking notice of our contributions. How, within your household, do you go about making sure that, you know, just beyond the award show, that people are understanding and learning about our contributions?
We do it in many ways. I'm in TV. I'm in news. So I'm able to do it. But I'm also encouraging my children to celebrate yourself. Now, here's what I know for sure, because sometimes the things that we're calling racism is really preference. In my church, I don't celebrate every other church because I'm in my church, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's an award show and it's about a certain movie and we're talking about this movie, you can't say, why didn't you talk about all the other ones? Because they were talking about this one. You know, so sometimes we have to understand that people have preference. And if it's a country music show, you're not going to see a hip hop artist. Just like on the Stellar Awards, which is black gospel, you don't see a lot of white Christian artists. So sometimes, you know, we've got a long way to go in what fairness means and looks like, and in what acknowledgement looks like. That's why you've got to know who you are. That's why I said you've got to give yourself a yes before anyone ever gives it to you. Because just because I didn't win a Grammy didn't mean the record wasn't good.
Right.
Just because the movie didn't get celebrated doesn't mean that someone ignored you. So maybe the person that saw it wasn't a part of the Academy, but maybe they really loved it. And so that's what you do it for. You have to ask yourself, what am I doing it for? Am I looking for someone who doesn't look like me or know me to say, you're good? I don't need that validation. I know who I am. So, you know, in a lot of ways, we've got to be comfortable in our own skin. We've got to give ourselves yeses. And we've got to give ourselves a round of applause before anyone else ever does it.
I'm sure you and my friend, your co-host, Roland Martin, will make Urban
Yes.
One Honors a fun and insightful event. Now, what do you two possibly have in store for viewers Sunday at 9 p.m. on TV One?
Ooh, so much, from the clothes to the music, to the laughter and the fun. It's so good. I had such a good time putting this together. And so I think that people should really watch with your daughters and sons, watch with your whole family. It'll just make your heart happy. It'll encourage you. We've had a tough year, you know, we're still in this pandemic. So this is going to really lift us up in ways that I think we deserve to be lifted, especially after 2020.
She is Grammy Award-winning gospel artist, author, and syndicated radio personality Erica Campbell. She will co-host Urban One Honors with journalist and television host Roland Martin on May 16th at 9 p.m. on TV One. Erica Campbell, it's always good to talk to you. We need to be able to just catch up in general, but I'm always appreciative of any time I have to just talk with you. Thank you for coming on today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Mr. Mo Kelly here. Against the backdrop of President Biden's proposed $2 trillion infrastructure plan, which is to be offset in part by raising corporate taxes and taxes on households with income over $400,000. And don't forget a hideously underwhelming jobs report last Friday with a slight increase in unemployment. With all that in mind, the debate continues as to how we should financially manage our economy as we emerge from the pandemic and beyond. And oh yeah, the IRS filing extension deadline is coming up Monday on the 17th. Joining me right now via Zoom are Morris Pearl and Erica Payne of the nonpartisan organization Patriotic Millionaires and co-authors of the new book, Tax the Rich: How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. First, from one Morris to another, it's not often I get to say hello to another Morris. Morris Pearl, how are you today?
I'm great. It's great to be in your show. Thank you, Mr. Kelly.
And Erica, how are you today?
I'm absolutely fabulous. Thanks, Mo.
Erica, let me begin with you. There's an old saying, the rich get richer. is the short answer that our economy is tilted, or dare I say rigged, in the direction of the rich and wealthy?
100%. Listen, right now, 71% of Americans think the economy is rigged against them. We have big news. They're right. I'm not sure what the other 29 think, but we have set up an economy that definitionally is going to make rich people even richer and regular people further and further behind more quickly over time. We are in a spot.
Morris, Chris Rock, the comedian, did a very funny bit years ago delineating the difference between the concepts of being rich and being wealthy. I'll paraphrase. He said, like, Shaquille O'Neal is rich, but the guy who signs his checks is wealthy. What does it mean to be rich or wealthy to you in America?
Yeah, I remember that routine very well. The difference is, I remember going on vacation with our family once, and one of my son's girlfriends being escorted into a VIP lounge as we're going first class on a trip to Europe. Say, oh, this is how the rich people live. Everything, rich people, they're not actually in this airport at all. They're on their private jets in the other airport. And yeah, there's a big difference between regular people who work for a living, people like me who don't have to work for a living, who have the good fortune of being wealthy enough to have retired many years ago, and then the ultra wealthy, who have so much money, they literally have to hire people to help them figure out how to give it away. That's just a beyond, so much beyond what you can imagine having to do.
Erica, I think Morris was just touching upon it, but anyone who knows their American history knows that the tax code has progressively, small p, favored the individually wealthy and corporations over the decades. Why seemingly are we okay with billion-dollar multinational corporations paying literally zero taxes? Does trickle-down economics not actually exist?
Okay, so trickle-down economics, the heart of that word is trick. And it's nothing but a trick, and it's been a trick, and it's just awful. So over the last 70 years, our tax code for the wealthiest people in corporations has gotten less and less and less. And so they used to pay a top marginal income tax rate of 94%. Today, the top marginal income tax rate is 37%. Corporations used to bring in around 30% of the revenue to the country. Now they bring in about 7% of the revenues. You saw a few weeks ago, 55 companies, some of the biggest companies, FedEx, et cetera, pay no taxes whatsoever. So if you sent a single package over FedEx, you paid more to FedEx than FedEx paid to pave the roads, keep the streets clean, and all of that stuff. You did more than FedEx did. And I think that is an absurdity. And it is built into the cake of our tax code.
Morris, you represent Patriotic Millionaires, which is a nonpartisan organization. But when we talk about taxes, when we talk about corporate taxes, it oftentimes is politicized or it's viewed through a political lens. What about this idea of this political economy in which you speak of in the book Tax the Rich? How should we view these issues, if we can, through this nonpartisan lens?
Somehow, some way, half of Americans, roughly, have been convinced that, oh, we have to appease the rich people, or they will, I don't know what they'll do, take their ball and go to the next playground or something. But it's just not true. We have to make decisions as a democracy by voting for elected representatives who represent everybody, not just the rich people. We have to understand that we have to run this country in a way that everyone does well, or else none of us will do well. You know, we've seen revolutions in Greece a few years ago, in South Africa a few decades ago. Those don't end well for the rich people. We have to have a different path, and we have to change course now.
Erica, I'm going to pull in just a tint of politics as far as how some people may have viewed Morris's answer. When he says that everyone should do well, someone will say, ah, that's socialism, and we live in a capitalist society, and we live in a society where they're winners and they're losers, and some people fail. Some people are more ambitious in nature, and society rewards them accordingly. Do we really need to make sure that everyone does well?
Well, so there are a couple of things. I mean, yes, it is true that people have different talent levels. They have different ambitions. Morris worked for a lot of people in his whole career who really wanted to focus on making money. I've worked with a lot of people in my career who mostly wanted to study issues or policies or promote things that were for the common good. So people come at, you know, I'm not as good of a basketball player as Michael Jordan. So chances are I'm not going to, you know, make a killing in the basketball business. But we all live in the country together. And I think if the coronavirus has done one good thing, it's to see that we are all incredibly interconnected. And that interconnectedness should lead us, even if we can't find it in our hearts to do it for like a moral reason, just literally, what kind of society do you want to live in? Do you want to walk down the street and feel safe, have your kids go to a great school? Do you want to be able to have folks that you can hire to work in your business? You know, these are things that we build as a society as a whole, and some of those require investing. So we want to see us finance a stable, prosperous, and inclusive nation where everybody can succeed, but also where everybody who lives in that society likes living there because it's nice and it's fun.
Taxes, taxes, will you always haunt me? Will I always have to work in vain? You have caused me many tribulations. Taxes, taxes, you have taxed my brain.
KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Joining me right now as we continue my conversation via Zoom are Morris Pearl and Erica Payne. They're of the nonpartisan organization Patriotic Millionaires and co-authors of the new book, Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer. I like the alliteration. Morris, let me come to you. What are these lies and loopholes? I can figure out the lobbyists, but specifically the lies and loopholes in which richer people are getting even richer.
The biggest lie I focus on is the idea that investors, people who invest in the stock market, are somehow benefiting the whole country and need to be rewarded by paying half the taxes that people like you who work for a living pay. It's a lie and it's a loophole because there's absolutely no reason why I should sit here and press a few buttons on my computer and buy and sell stock and pay half the tax on that profit that someone who works for a living pays making the same amount of money. It's just ridiculous that we reward capital, people who make money from money, more than we reward labor, people who make money from their work.
And Mo, it's a lot of money. So like if I made $100,000 working this year and Morris made $100,000 just clicking a button on an E-Trade account, I actually end the year with 40 hours of work, 52 weeks a year. I end the year $8,000 poorer than Morris because the tax code thinks it's more important for Morris to click go on an E-Trade account in 5 minutes, one time in 365 days a year than it is for me to go to work every day. If you go up to 400,000, same kind of thing. Morris ends the year $44,000 richer than me. And I'm the one who worked and he sat around all day, you know, doing whatever, and then one day clicked an E-Trade account. This is a built-in advantage for rich people, and it is killing our country.
But what about the argument where Morris represents the job creators, the job providers? They make sure that there's a space and place for Americans to go to work and decrease that unemployment rate that I talked about in the very beginning. Go ahead, Erica.
So let me just say this. The job creator myth is probably one of the biggest lies out there in America today. Okay, Jeff Bezos employs lots and lots of people. He employs people because people want to buy toilet paper in an efficient way. But people were buying toilet paper a long time before Jeff Bezos came along. The single only job creator in the economy is consumer demand. Consumers with money in their pocket that they can spend buying goods and services. Full stop. The person who organizes the relationship is not a job creator. They are merely the beneficiary of a system they have put together, a business, to transfer consumer demand into business activity. They are not job creators. The consumer demand is the job creator.
And I don't even organize anything. I have $1 million worth of stock in Amazon, but that didn't benefit Amazon either. I bought it from someone else who was selling it that day. and I've been doing very well with it, but that's not benefiting anybody except for my family, who will hopefully sell it someday. But it's just a ridiculous absurdity, the idea that occasionally trading stock is somehow benefiting the companies or the employees or anyone else. It's just not true, Mo.
Morris, let me keep it with you. You make it very clear in the book that you don't feel an ounce of guilt about being rich. Not that you should. Those who know your history know your long career on Wall Street and, of course, your connection to BlackRock. So I say that because no one can then accuse you of being jealous. But you can be accused of, and I'll put it this way, like being a traitor to your own cause, if you will. Why act seemingly in opposition of your own personal interests? You talk about having the Amazon stock and it benefits your family, but you can also make the argument, well, you've made a career off just benefiting yourself. Why the about face now?
Well, yeah, I used to work for a living. I used to not have enough money to afford to be able to retire. And I worked for a living, and I worked for employers who had use for my skills, and that was great. I developed huge systems for Wall Street firms and had a lot of fun making a lot of money for my friends and I in the process. But I want to continue my children and my granddaughter now to have those opportunities. And what I'm seeing is our country devolving into, I mean, you've seen it yourself. Civil unrest, people marching in the streets. I want the next generations to have the same opportunities that I had to get wealthy. And those opportunities only existed because of the millions of homeowners paying their mortgage payments every month, because of the millions of people paying their iPhone bills and everything else every month. And if we don't have that robust middle class that spends money, there won't be any opportunities for investors and business people to make money in this country.
Erica, we talked about the lies and the loopholes. I guess everyone loves to throw rocks, as they say, at the lobbyists. They're an easy target. But have we overstated or understated their impact in terms of how we may form our economic policies?
We have grossly underestimated the extent to which the lobbyists drive public policy. We have right now 181 CEOs who are insisting that the corporate tax hike that Biden has proposed is going to hurt their businesses and hurt their jobs. Of those, probably a cool dozen paid zero in taxes last year. And these CEOs hire these lobbyists, and the CEOs go on TV and spout a bunch of nonsense and lies to the American people about job creation. And their lobbyists take their corporate PAC checks and walk into the halls of Congress, and they write the rules of an economy, and their control over the drawing board is why we currently have an economic system that virtually guarantees that Jeff Bezos is going to get richer and richer with each passing day, and that regular working people are going to be left holding the bag. Billionaires in America paid a lower tax rate last year than every other group of people in the country.
And there you have it. The name of the book is Tax the Rich: How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer, co-authored by representatives of the Patriotic Millionaires, both Erica Payne and Morris Pearl. Erica, very quickly, how can people find the book and also the Patriotic Millionaires online?
Absolutely. TaxTheRich.com. We have a roadshow. We have a book. You can sign up to join our campaign. If you want to learn more about the group, you can go to PatrioticMillionaires.org. So TaxTheRich.com and PatrioticMillionaires.org.
Erica Payne, Morris Pearl. Morris, from one Morris to another Morris, thank you. I can't express enough how infrequently I get to run into another Morris. So I'm going to just revel in that for just one more second. Thank you both for coming on today, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Great to be in your show.
This is the Mo Kelly Show. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app and KFI AM 640.
Common sense left California a long time ago. We're bringing it back.
KFI.
And KOST HD2.
Los Angeles, Orange County.
Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.